Voices of VR podcast.
My name is Roy Taylor. I'm the Corporate Vice President of Alliances at AMD, which means I'm responsible for everything which is neither a customer nor a supplier. So I have a team which supports game developers, publishers, and of course VR.
Great. So right here we're at GDC, and there's a couple of new announcements that came out today. So what are you announcing from AMD today?
Yeah, we announced a lot. We announced Radeon Pro Duo. It's a new graphics card. It has two GPUs, and it's been specifically designed with VR content creators in mind. So it's a perfect product for people who want to do video stitching, for stitching, you know, GoPro rigs, Jaunt VR, and so on. It's also the perfect GPU product for doing game engine development work. So we announced Radeon Pro Duo, completely brand new class of product, and a new graphics card. We also announced a new program so that people can identify high-end premium rigs for VR featuring AMD technology. So we announced a program called VR Ready Premium, and that goes live in the next 24 hours. So those are two things. We also announced today our partnership with 20th Century Fox for the VR experience for Assassin's Creed. And we also announced, not VR, but we're going to be partnering with Creators of Assembly for Warhammer, but watch this space, and a whole bunch of other things to boot.
So let's go back to the new GPU that was just announced. And having two GPUs, is that kind of like similar to tying two GPUs together, like rendering one for each eye? Or is this mainly for developers, or is this also for consumers to actually drive higher end VR experiences?
Yeah, actually it's for both. So you can use two GPUs. Well, we also, now another announcement we had today was that we have a 3D Studio being accelerated scaling through using two GPUs. When you put two GPUs together, you can get much more performance than just one. You can do that as GPU per eye, which we have in Liquid VR. Liquid VR, by the way, is available with source code on GitHub and has already been downloaded thousands of times. So any of your listeners who want to experiment should go try that. Liquid VR supports the use of those two GPUs. So in answer to your question, we believe that Radeon Pro Duo will be attractive to content creators and power users who want the best and fastest, most powerful rig.
And so for developers, do you imagine something like these GPUs would be perhaps used for pre-rendering different scenes that are going to be maybe cinematic or passive experience that aren't highly dynamic and allow them to render them faster?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we know that the game engine companies are looking at producing tools specifically for content creators in VR that will allow them to overcome some of the hurdles around using game engines today. Game engines, for example, are not traditionally good at lighting for, say, film directors because they want to have lighting which is per scene or per shot, whereas game engines traditionally support global illumination. Also, game engines are designed for you to run and jump and leap about, whereas a film director wants a particular camera angle or what we call determinism. This product's been designed for these new tools which are coming. Another tool which is coming along is called Eve from Seattle-based company called Envelop. They realize that the process of creating VR where you have to put the headset on, make some code, take the headset off, make some code, it's very laborious. So their product Eve is designed so you can keep the headset on by using a forward-facing camera to see your hands and your keyboard. And Radeon Pro Duo is a perfect complement to Eve.
And so with AMD, you've had Mantle, which then became the Vulkan API. So maybe talk a bit about like the trajectory from how you started with that API and how it evolved into kind of this open standard and what the implications of that now that it's sort of spreading out and what that's going to enable people to do.
Yeah, we think that the success in VR will be a rising tide that floats all boats. And so we should work with all of the ecosystem to help make VR a success. So when we produced Mantle, we promised from the get-go that we would actually put the code out into the world so people could take advantage of it. What Mantle was designed to do, it has done perfectly. And that is to re-look at an API, which once upon a time, many, many years ago, was a small piece of software, and had over the years become larger and larger and larger, and realize that the API shouldn't be work, it should help you. So we produced Mantle, which is a low-level API, helps you get nearer to the metal, work with Kronos to get it into Vulkan, and now our work will continue. We have some other innovations coming. I nearly revealed one just then, hence the hesitation. We have some other things coming along, but our central promise is this: whatever we do, just as we promised with Mantle, we will make available to everybody. And as I said, we have a complete commitment with GPU Open, GP Open is an entire platform of software to help developers, all available on GitHub, all available with source code.
At the Samsung Unpacked event, Tim Sweeney was there talking about a game that they were running on a mobile phone using the Vulkan API. And so what are some of the implications of using Vulkan that's going to be able to drive experiences on mobile?
Well, Vulkan is a version of OpenGL, is platform agnostic. So DirectX 12 is wonderful, and we're, as you heard today, we're huge fans of DirectX 12, but it's restricted to Windows 10. Now, that's not the problem many perhaps thought it would be, because Windows 10 is on 350 million PCs. However, if you want to have an API which, you know, spans many platforms, then Vulkan as OpenGL can help you do that.
DirectX 12 was coming up a lot during the conference day. What are some of the things or integrations that you're excited that AMD is doing with DirectX 12?
Well, the biggest is asynchronous compute. You know, we were very, very lucky that we had a GPU architect, a guy called Mike Mantor, some years ago, looked at the future with very, very far-sighted vision, said that we're going to want to use the GPU in different ways to do different functions. But when you use the GPU to use different functions, you don't want to create a queuing problem. So you don't want to, for example, do physics, stop, do render, stop, access memory. What you want to be able to do is do multiple things at the same time. To enable that to happen, he created the asynchronous compute engine. DirectX 12 takes full advantage of that. The reason it's important is not just because we can deliver more performance, but because we can deliver the kind of performance that allows storytellers not to have to be inhibited, not to have to worry about whether the game or the experience or the hardware can deliver on what he wants to tell.
You know, I've heard someone tell me, you know, with the rendering and the amount of processing speed that you have from the graphics cards and GPUs, that it's kind of exceeding Moore's Law right now. When you look at the kind of growth of how much better each additional year or 18 months is bringing with improvements in GPUs, how do you kind of think about that or quantify that relative to Moore's Law charts of the doubling?
Well, I'm incredibly excited. What we need to do is incredible. So let me take a second to pause here and share something with you. The current headsets require 90 frames a second at around 1080p, 2K per eye, and around 10 milliseconds of latency. That performance is around 8 teraflops. But where we're going to is a place where we have 16K per eye at 144 frames a second with zero latency. Well, I think our calculations came out that's 743 teraflops, or 81 times more performance than we have now. So we have a lot to do until the job is done in terms of HMDs.
Right, so how long do you think it's going to take there? Or what rate do you think that things are kind of doubling until we get to that point?
Well, it's interesting. You know, traditionally, ourselves and our competitor launch one, you know, major new GPU a year. If that continues on the current trajectory, it means that we won't get to 16K per eye for 81 years, in which case you, as a young man, will be around. Fortunately, I probably won't be here to see it.
Like, how do you get that 81 years?
Just on the basis of a new GPU per year and the iterations that we have. Of course, I don't think that will happen because you're quite right. Moore's Law has been exceeded and we're going to get there long before.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I expect it way before 81 years. If there's increases in innovation that continues to have to happen in order to drive that exponentially, that could be an order of 5 to 10 years.
Oh, of course. I was saying 81 years for, you know, being just for some fun. No, I think that in the same way that Mike Mantor had the idea for asynchronous compute, of course innovation will continue, and that will break the traditional scaling that we've had. So it's impossible to say, I couldn't say, but I believe if you look at the amount of talent which is going into VR right now, and the investment in VR, as I just said when I was on stage, you can clearly see that we're going to fix these things much faster than we thought.
And so one of the other things that was shown today was that there was a new HMD that was being shown. What is AMD's connection to the kind of AR, VR, HMD that was being shown today?
So I think you're referring to the Sulon headset. It's not an AMD headset, it's Sulon, it's a Canadian company. And they use one of our APUs to power the headset. So an APU is a processor which contains both the CPU and the GPU in a single package. They took a look at the work that we've done in the console area and decided to use that technology for their headset.
Great. And for you, what kind of experiences are you really looking forward to experiencing in VR?
Oh, that's a great question. There's a lot. I recently tried Paranormal Activity by VRWorks and it scared me to death. You know, in fact, there's a video of me playing with this thing and I'm actually telling myself, it's not real, it's not real. But it felt real. It was actually kind of scary. So I'm a big fan of the horror genre. But what I think the other thing I'm really excited about is being able to go somewhere and be somewhere I couldn't otherwise. You know, I'm probably never going to climb Everest, so I love the Everest experience. I'm interested in things like that. Take me somewhere I can't go, or I'll never experience. Or give me a unique perspective. Show me what life is like in a completely different way. For example, what it like to be a VR dog? I have no idea. That might be fun. I know it's bizarre, but it might be fun. A colleague of mine said, well, what about if you could relive your dreams? What would that be like? So, you know, I can't give you a simple answer, straightforward answer to that, because I'm seeing so much content. I want to try it all.
And finally, what do you see as kind of the ultimate potential of virtual reality and what it might be able to enable?
I think the most important thing about it is its transformative nature. I'll show you a personal story. My parents came to Los Angeles, where I live, and I took them to Universal, and I didn't take them to what I thought they were going to do, which is go on the rides. I took them, we had a VR set up there at one of the meeting rooms. And I kind of tricked my dad a little bit, because his attitude had been, oh, VR is, you know, terrible, it's a fad, it's going to make me sick, whatever. So I got them to try VR out. My dad absolutely loved it. But my mom actually had an emotional experience. You know, what she said to me, I can be young again. In VR, I'm not old. In VR, I'm energetic, and I can do things like I was young again. And I thought, oh my God, that's really profound. That's a real insight. VR will be transformative. Everybody will be beautiful. Everybody will be handsome. Everybody will have boundless energy. And I think that's kind of exciting.
Is there anything else that's left unsaid that you'd like to say?
Yes, if you're listening to this and you have an idea and you want to get support for your idea, the fact is we haven't yet found, we're not yet working with the next Sergey or Larry. Somewhere out there, hopefully listener to your podcast, has a brilliant idea and he's thinking, if only somebody could help me. Please come to AMD. We can't respond to everybody, but we're going to really, really try, because we know that somewhere in your audience, one of your listeners has a breakthrough idea or product. In fact, there's a guy here you should meet, young film director that I met, just like that. Very talented guy called Kevin Cornish. And he produced the first piece of VR content using the gaze direction of the headset, together with camera core assets using a Canon 40i and a game engine to produce something called Believe VR. It's completely original. It's absolutely fantastic. And actually, when you finish with me, I'm going to take you right over to introduce you to him.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the Voices of VR podcast, then please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/voicesofvr.